3, 2, 1.
Family.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Queer Quadrant, a podcast where we, two bisexual filmmakers, examine cinema in all its cultural contexts and explore why your favorite four-quadrant blockbuster is maybe not as straight as you think it is.
So before we even get into talking about the movie, I want us to talk about the billing for this movie.
Yes.
Because it is the most insane billing
that
has maybe ever happened.
Yeah.
Would you say that what they do in this movie with the billing, it has almost gone so far to erase the value of the with and the and?
Because here's the thing.
Yes.
So if anyone is unfamiliar with like the billing game.
Uh-huh. I feel like hopefully they are. Because
yes.
We're losers.
I was going to say, with X person and X
yes.
person, just so people know, it's not just about clout. It actually affects the pay structure.
Yeah.
And it's like baked into the deal of
yes.
the people. And I would imagine this kind of came up for the first time, not the first time ever, but the first time I feel like in recent memory with Avengers Infinity War,
yeah.
which some could say that Fast X is the Avengers Infinity War
yeah.
the Fast saga.
I think it is. The Avengers is to Disney as the Fast franchise is
to
Universal.
Which is crazy
yeah.
considering how much property Universal
uh-huh.
has. But this is really the longest running
yeah.
Universal property.
You've heard superheroes
right?
can fly. What if cars, could fly?
Cars can fly in this movie. Sort of.
They can well
they can certainly
they basically
be in
build
the air.
A car or plane that
it's
can
a
fly.
Plane.
But a kayak also?
Yes. We'll get to it. But I just want to point out so
yes, yes,
in
yes.
Avengers or in Avengers Infinity War and in Avengers Endgame, the billing was crazy. But there was
bananas.
A lot of like the order also
yes.
matters.
100%.
So for those of us who have not seen Fast X,
mm.
there are three whiffs
oh,
and
boy.
Three ands.
Oh, you betcha.
And I think that the order in which they go probably also is important.
In terms of
like,
I would say it's how much they got paid.
Not necessarily how much they got paid, but I would guarantee that being the first with or the last with or whatever you want was baked into all these talent deals.
For sure. I 100% agree. Now the question is, Brooke.
Can I do it?
Can you do it?
Can I do the billing
Gun
game?
To your head. Are you ready?
Okay, so we have...
Or rather, nos can to your head. Are you ready?
I'm going to see if I can do this. So we have
yes.
three wits
you
and three
You have three
ands.
Wits, three ands.
I also kind of want to see if I can get the order,
that's
but
what,
that's
what I want you to get is the
like,
order.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Okay, can you get the order? Okay, start with number one.
Because
of course, wits go before ands.
I know, yeah, okay. I'm so nervous about this.
You got this. I've never believed in anyone more than I believe in you.
Okay.
So you have the, don't, just for people, you have the cast list because if it was not, I would say this would be the world's most impossible task.
Yes. Because
this
I
cast
do.
Is longer than
yeah.
the highway and, or the, sorry, the runway in Fast Six.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Here we go. So the wits first.
Wits first.
I think the wits are the new players, so I'm gonna go with Brie Larson, with Helen Mirren, with Rita Moreno.
You were so close. With Moreno, with Mirren, with Larson.
With Larson. Okay.
Yeah.
At the end.
I feel like with Larson, the last one being like Moreno, big. Mirren, you know her, classic, been here. And then Brie Larson.
So I had it correct that Helen Mirren is in the middle.
Yes.
Which
you,
is random because she's the returner.
The one who would, yeah, exactly.
Also, so some I don't remember. I think it was maybe in the IndieWire review of Fast X. There are four Academy Award winning actresses
yep.
in this film. And
can
I just
you
listed
name them all?
Three of
them. I was
them.
Just gonna say you
it's,
got
it's
all three.
Helen, Rita, and Charlize.
Right.
Insane to me.
Bananas.
Absolutely crazy. Okay. So now on to the
Now
ants.
On to your ants,
okay.
yes.
I think I know
I think
this.
You got this.
I think it's and Jason Statham
yes.
and Jason Momoa and Charlize Theron.
Oh my God, you were so close.
Is it and Statham and Theron and Momoa?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
There it is, money, baby. Because Momoa being the big villain,
the
they
big,
close
the big
out with
final
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Fuck yeah, dude.
All right.
Let's go.
Not bad.
That was pretty
but
goddamn
hey,
good.
I got, I didn't.
You got them all.
I didn't miss anybody
no.
who was in the six.
You led off
That's
also with
good.
Statham, I think, which is
yeah.
very impressive.
Thank you.
Because I think it's also, like, again, I feel like with that one, it's like, he's in it the least of them, but he's like a classic.
He's and then been it's there like, the longest.
Exactly. Like yeah. him and Charlize. Then it's like Charlize, again, big staple. But like then Hasn't Momoa, of course, gets the big,
yes.
you know, send off because he was the big villain. Yeah. Playing, of course, Dante, Enchante, Reyes. Yes.
Also, it's been, to be clear, I'm not mad about this at all, but it's been a minute since they just pretended someone was a different ethnicity in a in a big blockbuster.
Yes.
Although I will say Indiana Jones 5 is coming out this summer starring
yes.
wait, why can't I remember his name?
Jonathan
Rhys-Davies yes. as a Middle Eastern man. Uh-huh. Good times.
Indy!
Hello, my friend. So bad. But like to be clear, I am not mad about it in Fast X, but when Jason Momoa was like, yes, of course, me, the son of famed Brazilian drug lord. I was like, okay, you know,
I
sure.
I mean, honestly, I think my favorite part is when Rita Moreno shows up and they're like, Abuelita. And then you cut to John Cena. Look, I mean, if there's anything that this franchise, as we know, is good for, it's giving anybody can be anything.
Anybody can
and
be
can
anything.
And can be from anywhere. Can be related to anyone.
I think we talked about it in F9, maybe, or whatever it is, where
with
there's
Jacob.
That. There's that. Yeah, I think it's with the Jacob one, because they throw in some line where, about, like,
yes.
the diverse Toretto
Nordic
gene
strain.
Pool.
Yes.
Right. Right. It's Charlize
is like, I didn't know there was a Nordic strain in the Toretto bloodline.
It's so random.
We need, you know what? Because like, remember in this movie where we see like Dom's wall of Polaroids, basically, mm-hmm. which are just basically like pictures from set.
Stills from the
from
other
the
films.
Films.
One of my favorite.
Yes.
Favorite things.
Took them 3 seconds.
Yeah.
Did not care.
Did you know why? Do you know why they do that? This is just a good trivia.
Is it
trivia
like a licensing
episode.
Thing?
It's because if they bring the cast in for photos, they have to pay them for a day, and they usually have to do it on set, but then it's like the PD
it's
has
cheap,
to be prepped for when
rare.
They're shooting
yep.
on set, so it's a money saving, which is why if you ever like yes, a wall of family photos that are just rips
mm-hmm.
from the previous movies, that's why
I love it. I love
yeah.
it. I mean, there is nothing better than when you get like a family photo in a movie and it's the jankiest looking thing in
yes,
the world, where
like,
it's so
badly
clearly
photoshopped.
Exactly mm-hmm. exactly. But then again, that does elevate something when you have a good family photo, you know. But long story short, where are we going? The Nordic strain?
Well, who are we and why are we here?
Who are... Yeah, I ask you. Who
okay.
are we and why are we
Hi,
here?
I'm Brooke Solomon.
Jordan Gustafson.
We love talking about cinema. We love talking about being queer. We love talking about queer cinema.
Well, those are all true statements.
And welcome back.
Oh my God.
Dear listeners, to Q Fast, Q Furious, once an epic summer series on the films
That's
of
true.
The Fast franchise.
Does this count as we're like really almost in summer?
Yeah,
we're edging summer.
It's listen, last summer was Q Fast, Q Furious. We're bringing it back.
That's true.
For this
it's
summer,
it's not gone. It's, it's alive.
Jordan was a Fast and Furious expert. I was a Fast and Furious newbie.
Mm-hmm.
I am now a fellow Fast and Furious expert, and we were able
so beautiful to
Fast
see.
X was the first
wow
fast
we,
film
we drove together
that we experienced together in theaters.
It was crazy.
Yes.
I feel like I could feel your excitement watching it, like picking up on certain, because we didn't watch a Fast movie together, so
yeah.
like when the NOS was hit, I was like, wow, this is our first NOS together.
The
wow, this is
NOS
our first
together.
Family together. Our first barbecue.
Every time the Coronas were there, I was like, yay.
Clink, clink.
I also, so there's a couple in-jokes in this movie, but what the in-jokes,
so many in-jokes.
What the barbecue in-joke presupposes is that everyone in like the military knows
yes.
about the Toretto family barbecues.
Uh-huh. They're like, yo, those ribs, boy, can they cook them up good.
Also, their barbecues, like, they look good, but it's mostly about the Coronas, like
right.
really.
Yeah, they're just yeah. like, we're drinking here. Everyone's getting blasted. I
think
mean,
we see Dom drink 3 subsequent Coronas in that scene.
That would probably explain why Vin's acting the way Vin's acting at some points. Sorry.
Anyway, if it wasn't clear, today we're talking about the 10th.
Well, technically the 11th film.
What are you counting?
Fast and Furious presents Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh.
Yeah.
I really completely forgot about that film. I was like, Los Bandoleros? Like,
oh,
are you counting
we're
that?
We're talking 12 movies?
Oh, God.
The
well,
short. Can we talk about the moment when Vin in this movie, he's like, I'm going to plug the short film I directed, Los Bandoleros
for
forever.
Life.
No. Okay. But yes, no, we're talking about Fast X.
We're talking about Fast X, which is apparently not part 1 of 2, but part one of three. I say allegedly because I can't imagine.
I agree
that sticks.
I agree.
Considering the source is just Vin Diesel on the red carpet.
I mean, if the thing is, like, if you go back through things that Vin has said throughout time, he has often made grand gestures that might have not paid off. Think about, like, the Fast and Furious female spinoff, et cetera, et cetera.
Apparently Universal still wants to do that.
Will that happen?
I don't know. I really just want it to happen, but I can't. It has to be, I don't know. I feel like every movie, they bring in more women. Listen, there's some pros and cons, I would say, in this movie in terms of
anything,
both the new characters and the old characters. Sure. We'll get into it. But
are you not saying this is a 5-star masterpiece?
No, wow. No, it's not.
That's so shocking.
Although some people have liked it. I've seen some 5-star reviews.
I saw a lot of actually positive Letterboxd reviews, so good for
that. The thing is, I think that, like, there is an art form to dumb fun.
Of course.
And as a lot of reviews, I think, have rightfully pointed out, like, this is lacking the grace.
Yes.
And the care that a Fast and Furious movie usually does.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I would say that this has, like, the subtlety of Axe body spray, you know?
That is a great way to put it. I almost choked on my Corona.
I know. Clink, clink. We are drinking Coronas to the this is an audio medium.
Yes. But we have to have them.
Of course. In terms of, like, attacking this movie, because I think there is a lot to talk about. Should we talk a little bit about the production? Because I feel like while we were closing out our summer series, this was gearing up for production. And in the midst of our summer series, some drama unfurled.
Yes.
Should we just relitigate that real quick?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, as we all know, Justin Lin, we stan, an icon,
the
a legend.
The auteur of the Fast and Furious franchise.
Exactly, exactly. So, he was brought on for this and the final film.
Mm-hmm, to direct both of them. Yep. I think what the original plan was to shoot them all together.
Back to back. Chris Morgan was brought on to write, and he did not end up writing this one.
Yes. Christina Hodson, who wrote Birds of Prey, co-wrote this with Oren.
Or no, she's doing the next one. This one was written by, I got you, Dan Mazzo and Lin are credited. And then a story to Zach Dean. So Dan Mazzo, I think, is probably the guy who did the most writing on it, because he did Wrath of the Titans and Damsel, which Louis Leterrier directed.
Yeah.
So it feels like it was like the two of them and a little something something.
Yeah.
But Lin basically left a week during shooting, citing creative differences. And, you know, there was some drama. We don't have to get into it if we want to.
No, I think we should get into it, because the drama, here's the thing. It's not bad drama.
No.
It's actually pretty great drama, which is essentially that I saw a lot of reviews that were like, Vin has bought too much into his own mythos.
Sure.
And it extended so far as to alienate, like, the guy who has stuck by his side and essentially, like, turned the Fast and Furious franchise around.
Right.
And so... Yeah. It's unfortunate, but it's not like anything really bad happened.
No, I think it's just a lot of headbutting. I think
a lot of egos, a lot of testosterone.
Vin showing up late, maybe not being in shape, certain things like that. Mm-hmm. Also, Vin, I think, clearly, you know, being a Dungeons and Dragoner, knows the narrative that he wants to tell. And because when he came back, he basically was able to tell Universal to get a producer credit. So he's able to have, like, a lot of less looks on the script, et cetera.
Yes.
So he's able to tweak to what he wants, which I think can butt with Lin in terms of, like, trying to execute the movie.
Also, I mean, allegedly, like, he has a lot of ideas, but they come very late during shooting. And again, I like this is like a very trivia heavy episode.
We saw them all.
It is insane how much prep time a film takes.
Yes.
You cannot request new things in the middle of shooting.
No.
Like, you simply can't, because everything has to be put on hold. Not only do you have to rewrite and readjust, but sometimes you're talking like millions upon millions of dollars to even do a new stunt.
Yeah.
Like, well, a new small stunt.
Imagine if these, I'm sure, like, if these were quiet, you know, retrospective indie dramas, like, it wouldn't be as much of an issue. But these are big movies.
Yeah.
I would say this is the eighth most expensive movie of all time,
which is crazy. Apparently a lot of it is COVID costs, but also, let's think about this cast.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
because like they're 10 movies in.
Yeah.
Everyone's rates.
Everyone's quotes are super high.
Also, the fact that this movie had to shut down because of losing Lin, and they were hemorrhaging money every single day as they were trying to bring on a new director.
That's the other thing. Every time a production has to shut down, including for COVID or stuff like that, the amount of money that you lose day to day is insane. I feel like a lot of people are aware of it at this moment in time because there's a little thing called the writer's strike happening.
What?
Don't know if you've heard about it.
Tell me more.
But people, I think, are seeing like, oh, if you shut down production for one day,
right,
you're costing that studio and that production so much money.
Exactly.
So
everyone should go strike.
Everyone
Let's shut down the studios.
Yes.
Let's slay.
Yes. But it is unfortunate when it happens for like a replacing a director.
A bad
reason.
Situation. Yes.
And
the thing is like
COVID. That's why COVID costs are just so,
it's so fucking ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, like the thing is like, I'm sure Lin would have crushed it. And I think not to like discount Louis Leterrier, because I've seen
not at all.
Shockingly a decent amount of his movies. Because famously last year I watched both Clash and Wrath of the Titans. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. And then I've also seen The Incredible Hulk, and I've also seen Now You See Me and The Brothers Grimsby. So I've seen so much of his stuff.
Of those, I have only seen Now You See Me. Did
now
not
you
enjoy
don't.
That film. Did not enjoy that
Interesting.
Film.
Why?
It's
not good.
I have I think this was my Letterboxd review, but I thought that movie was.
Oh my god,
you
saw it in like a Letterboxd era.
I saw it on a plane.
Oh, that's a good plane movie.
Yeah, but I thought it was supposed to be kind of good and fun.
Yeah,
that
I
movie
think
is
that's
so
Now You See
bad.
Me too.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, now I have
but
to
was
fucking
it, so
watch
was
the second one.
So the question is: it real really, magic or fake magic? I saw that movie
magic.
And I forget.
It's fake magic.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I really thought that movie was awful. Anyway, but
apparently
truly,
his TV stuff's good. Have you
also,
seen any of his TV shit?
I have not, but I think
you
the main problem.
Lupin?
Oh, the Omar Sy one? Mm-hmm. No, I haven't.
He did that in Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance, which is apparently good.
I also think that he's a good director. I think that
yes,
Now You See Me is well directed. I actually think that he was a very good choice to replace Justin Lin.
I would agree.
And I would say that this movie is competently directed. I would not say it is poorly directed.
I don't think I think my biggest issue is I can think you can just feel when certain scenes were sort of second united and or had to be rushed. It's like that's the biggest thing. Like you can
of
really
course.
Feel someone coming in and having to like quickly try to like figure things out versus actually like having the time and the patience to sort of storyboard and get all these action sequences, because this franchise is known for great action,
and the action in this one
a little lackluster
is really I think what I was most disappointed about.
I agree.
Well, that, and we'll get into the arc.
What do you mean? What
the
arc?
Structure? I'll say the structure or lack thereof. This kind of reminds me of when I saw Solo, and you could just like really see like the patchwork nature of it. Yeah. Anyway,
I have a question for you. I don't know if you'll be able to answer this though.
Okay.
Do you know how Han got his last name? Please tell me. Like, did you learn in that movie how he got his last name?
Yeah, it was really important.
How? Could you please tell our listeners? You're not going to do it?
I'm not rising.
Wow.
But also Han.
Han Solo.
Yeah.
In this? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyways, so they bring on Louis Leterrier. Apparently he's a franchise super fan.
Which is kind of amazing.
I mean, one, I'm jealous. Extremely.
Yeah.
Two, does this make this fast fan fixture or the fast fiction in the Furious? Because he's right.
I think there's a better way to do it.
Work with me here, though. You know what I'm trying to say.
I think the fan fiction in The Furious.
The fan fiction in The Furious?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this movie was.
Yeah.
Like, you could feel someone who's... I think that was the part that I actually liked the most is when we had Mr. FBI Ames himself, where he's like, I fucking hate these barbecues.
Yes.
God, it's a cult. Like, these losers. Did you write down the quotes? Because I feel
did.
Like there were some that you need to say.
We were, like, furiously typing on the way out of the theater because we knew we wouldn't be able to find any of these because the movie comes out, like, literally today.
Yes.
If you're listening to this on the day of release, here is what I have.
Please,
so please. I would like to say Quiet... Well, we all know who the real MVP of this film is. But Quiet MVP is Alan Ritchson, Jack Reacher himself. From Amazon, who, you know what I'm going to say. You know what I'm going to say, Jordan.
You mean Gloss in Catching Fire?
Well, that.
Oh, that is a hunk?
Yeah.
That his arms are the size of two tow trucks?
That, I get it. He's also in a lot of, like, random TV. which is fun. But he would just like randomly appear on like sitcoms and like he was on some CW shows. Mm. And Reacher like sort of gave him like a new
like Reacher was a big bump. New heights.
And you know what? He's really good in this movie.
He's phenomenal in this movie.
So great.
Also, okay. Not to be like he looks a little fruity because he's like a huge Hulk, but there's something about his face.
He's very clean cut. He's maybe a little too clean cut.
That's yeah. Because Scott, I feel like the dichotomy is like him and Scott Eastwood are the two sides of a coin. Whereas, yes, exactly. Scott Eastwood, yes. I look at him and I say, you have never looked at a male's penis in your life.
Oh my God, Jordan.
And with Jonathan.
Jordan!
With Mr. Ames, I'm like, maybe.
Anyway.
I don't know.
I get it.
Sorry.
He's very, very put together.
Yes, yes. It's like, but then again, when you have him working with Dante,
yes.
You're like, is there a little more going on
also,
here?
Obviously, if it wasn't clear, we're going to spoil all of Fast
oh,
X.
Oh, true, yeah.
So,
spoilers.
Spoilers for Fast X. But what are you doing?
Why are you listening to this? What are you doing? Get out of here.
Okay.
Go watch the movie.
Here are...
But give me the quotes.
Here are the quotes. There is an early scene between Alan Ritchson and Brie Larson, who is not playing Brian's sister, like
to
many
the shock
of us thought.
Of everyone.
But is playing a random fucking FBI.
Mr. Nobody's daughter.
Why? Why?
Do her and Kurt even look alike?
Enough. They're both white people. But the fact that like Scott Eastwood was
already
nobody. There.
Yeah.
And then he's like. He just leaves this movie.
He's being cucked by Brie Larson.
It's so, but like, where does he go? What happens? Is he not still part of the agency?
No, he is.
That is just the, one of the agency.
Okay, the amount of times that they say the agency.
Have they called it the agency in previous installations?
I don't
I feel
know,
like
but
that
it
was
really pumped in this
previous
time.
Installments. That, like, I felt like that was new.
Yeah. They got it.
Like, what?
It was just, like, I know that we're playing with, like, big tropes, and this is operatic, and nothing in this franchise is, like, subtle. You know what I mean? Like, I understand that. This is dealing with grand, you know, grandiose themes. But, like, the agency, just, like, one more pitch. Just one soft pitch.
Yeah.
Something, you know?
Yeah, I...
Please give me the quotes.
It's so weird. So, in that scene, Alan Ritchson,
yes.
Is talking about how much he dislikes Toretto.
Yes.
He says Toretto's family,
uh-huh.
AKA the Fast family.
Mi familia.
one of his quotes is basically, what is it? Oh, if it's a criminal enterprise, they've done it. If it breaks the law of physics or gravity, they did it twice. Or
great.
Something along those lines.
Incredible.
That got a big laugh, but his next line got an even bigger laugh. Mm-hmm. And what I would argue is, maybe
the
like
line
the line
movie.
Of the movie is it's like a cult with cars.
Good line.
And that is in response to Brie Larson saying, so what, we're all a couple beers and a barbecue away from becoming criminals. And he's essentially like the Toretto's, like Dominic just pulls everyone into his orbit, which is fair because he talks about every villain
yes.
that he has quote unquote corrupted
right.
to
become
the dark
good.
Side.
Yeah.
Which is Hobbs.
So silly.
And I guess they don't
technically Cypher.
Yeah. And they don't mention Shaw, but
no.
Jacob, like
mm-hmm.
all these people.
Probably who else?
Elena.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do. Every
yeah.
every villain ultimately becomes part of the family
yes.
or they die.
The thing is.
Or they're just totally forgettable.
They better not bring Dante over because I love him as a villain.
I don't think they can. He's too antithetical. The thing about, like, here are the things.
Yes.
Here are the things.
Yes.
Hobbs
uh-huh.
was really only a villain because he was, like, in the FBI.
Right.
Cypher is just kind of doing whatever.
Cypher's
I think
out
it's
there for Cypher.
Weird that she's kind of now part of the squad.
I agree.
I also really assumed Charlize would be, like, one and done. It's wild that she just has been in every single movie.
Charlize, like, loves the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame her.
I don't
it's
either.
Probably a ton of fun.
Like, her Instas are always like, I love my Fast family.
Yeah. Did you see her post with Michelle Rodriguez?
I
she
did.
Was like, I love this girl so much.
Did
was,
you
like,
know that
I'm
their fight
such a
didn't
stan.
Have a director?
Oh, my God.
That
was
all second
them.
Unit and just them. Isn't that incredible?
That's so hot.
Isn't what? Do you, what if there wasn't even a fight and they were like,
oh
what if we fought?
What if we kissed in the Black Ops prison?
In
Antarctica. What if we kissed in the Black Ops prison in Antarctica? That should be, if I see this again, that's going to be
that's
my next
review.
Review. That
the,
makes a lot of sense because
yes.
they're both like women of action
yes.
chops.
Yes.
And they probably had a huge 100%, say in that fight. Oh, it's so good. I think that's the best fight of the movie.
I agree.
Also, it's the only one that feels like actually tactical.
Really grounded. Yes. Yeah. Can I want to, you said the anti-Don. Dom.
Oh, yeah.
Dommy.
Speaking of.
Can I give you a quote that I think is incredible about that specifically?
I think I saw this quote.
Do you have the same quote?
You have to say it.
Where Louis Leterrier was talking about developing Dante and they go, quote, they wanted to create the anti-Dom, the yang to Dom's yin, the antichrist of his Christ.
That is exactly the quote that I thought you were going to say. I saw that and I was like, oh, you gotta be shitting me, guys.
Yep.
That's the thing, is that maybe as much as I think
devil.
As much as I'm very happy for Louis Leterrier that he got, is it Leterrier or Leterrier? I don't know. He seems French.
Oui, oui.
So as happy as I am for Louis Leterrier, I'm gonna say
it's French. No,
that.
He is French. He's French.
That he got to direct one of his favorite franchises. Maybe when you have Vin Diesel, you don't stick him with someone who's going to enable him.
Yes.
That's why I think that he and Lin had a good directing relationship, because Lin was able to lean into it, but also pull him back. Yeah. But like, it just seems like Vin will steamroll anyone and everyone.
Yes.
So I can understand being like, well, let's bring someone in who's like already a fan and it'll just be the Vin Diesel show.
Right.
But when it is the Vin Diesel show, first of all, you get quotes like that, which is just
the best thing ever. It's so funny.
Or the worst thing
ever. Well, because I mean, like, we talked about for 8 episodes or 10 episodes, whatever, like how it was so clear that Dom was developing Christ-like powers.
Yes, he's a Jesus figure. And it's all about him and the necklace.
The necklace, huge play in this movie.
Huge play in like
every movie.
Fast 8, yeah. Like Fate of the Furious, excuse me. Like it's, but yeah, it's all over this movie. And Jacob has a matching one, random. Don't remember that from F9. But
I do, because I remember in the trailer when he has it on his back.
Oh yeah, because you see he's Dom's dark side. We should really run down what happens with every character, because basically every character has something befuddling that I need to talk about.
Yes.
We
should honestly go through the plot, because it doesn't make sense.
We should go through the 5, I think, individual storylines.
Sure.
Instead.
Sure.
Because this is one of those movies, as big ensemble movies tend to do, where they split everyone apart.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume we'll get some sort of big epic, everyone comes back together at the end of Fast 11. And or Fast 12, please God,
it better
no.
Be 11. Yes.
Listen, after seeing this movie, I don't want 2 more parts.
The thing, like,
I want one more.
I should want more.
I should want more, but I don't think they set up anything interesting, which
is
the
problem. I agree. I think this franchise needs to end, not in a bad way, like kill it, you know. But
it's not a kill it with fire situation.
Right. It's just like, let's end on a good note. Like, don't keep going to the point where then you, like, push fans away. You know, like, I really, like, a lot of people online don't like Fast 9. I think Fast 9 is fun as fuck. I had a delightful time in the theater.
I think it's unquestionably better than Fate of the Furious.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
That should be...
I just worry with this one that a lot of people are going to balk at it and it will just leave such a sour taste. And then if 12 is bad and they want a 13, then it's just going to really... 11
is
bad. And then 12
that's
is
the
just...
thing is, like, you... The middle movie is always already like so stressful, and I think that they just like did not set up enough runway, and I don't think that they have really a steady hand at the wheel, so to speak, to really like be able to make that middle installment actually significant. And like this one already felt weirdly insignificant because there's no completion of arcs at all.
I agree.
It's just all kind of like cliffhangers, I say in quotations, because it's really not much of a cliffhanger.
Right. It's more like a Hoover Dam hanger. Before we dive in, I do have a question for you though.
Yeah.
Because I think this is a salient like thing to quickly dig into, is like, have there ever been really successful like part ones though? Because I think like having literally watched The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 1 last night.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
You
part
see,
ones of like
of two, where
finales?
Finales where they're specifically splitting it. I really like Deathly Hallows Part 1. I know I'm in the minority there.
Yeah, that's...
I like it specifically. The thing is, I haven't rewatched the whole movie in a long time. and still won't. But there's one scene in it, the dance scene, shocking, that I stand
but it's
so
like,
hard.
You can always find good scenes in part
of course,
one
of course.
Whatever.
Yes.
That I don't think that's an excuse.
So this is where I bring my question. Has a part one ever been more successful than part two?
More successful? No. I think that probably the high watermark in terms of like recent when they started doing this is Infinity War, I suppose.
Does that even count though?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Because it was originally Infinity War Part One and Infinity War Part Two, then they just renamed it.
Yeah. That's actually a good point.
Because I agree.
Twilight,
no, even though I think that movie's kind of fun.
It's crazy. Part two is so good. One of the best creative choices ever.
Yes, it's great. Same with Mockingjay, where like part one is just, they should have never split that movie, but whatever. Harry Potter, we all know where we stand. Yes. I feel like I'm missing a big one.
It's like a blank in my mind, but I know there's
Twilight,
some more.
Harry Potter, Hunger Games.
But you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I agree.
Yeah.
But I think that, so that's fine, but I think that...
Oh, you know what's coming up is Dead Reckoning, which I'm a little nervous about.
Yes,
oh,
you know what,
Dune,
that's a good point.
Okay, actually, Dune Part 1, that was good.
Dune is also different because it's the first and the last, like it's a duology.
Sure, yeah.
It's not like a trilogy that's
then
stretched.
It's not a finale to a franchise.
You know what I mean?
Correct, yes.
Here's the thing about so I don't think that there has ever been, at least I can't think of anything, a end to a franchise in a trilogy, you know what I mean, like this, like if it would be Fast 11, Fast 12, and here's the problem is that it's like they barely have enough runway to make Fast 11 I think satisfying, and I also like I don't want any more villains quite honestly.
You don't want the Robert Downey Jr.
yes,
and
allegedly
Damon one?
First of all, as much as I love Michelle Rodriguez, she's the one who wants Matt Damon, right?
Yeah,
girl why
I mean
get Robert Downey Jr. I understand it, but okay, so Vin has allegedly been developing a role for Robert Downey Jr. for years that he pitches as the anti-Dom, but I don't understand because, like,
that's
isn't Momoa
Dante.
Supposed to be
yes.
the anti-Dom? So
yes.
The only thing I can think of is, like, Robert Downey Jr. is a suit.
Yes.
But that's
who doesn't
so
drive, which is boring.
Boring. And yes. I also think that, like, you have your villain.
Yes.
You might as well try to close out with, like, one villain.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
And they're also kind of like, if we're technically thinking about Snidely Whiplash, like he already killed off technically Jacob and is like inflicting pain. So I'm like, we already have your like major deaths that have happened, you know?
Well,
quote unquote.
Do you remember? Do you remember at the end of this movie how the helicopter randomly crashes and allegedly kills four of the cast members?
Yes. Yes.
What?
Do you think I...
Why does it crash? Do I not remember? I just don't
because
remember.
Because it's aims and he like does something.
Oh, that's
he
the
has
thing.
Like a javelin
shoots,
and shoots,
shoots
it down.
He shoots the like bazooka.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question for you though, because I was going to bring this up at the end when we talked about the whole thing, but since we're here, how do you think they come alive? My galaxy brain theory right now is that everything that's happening with Michelle and Cypher and... Giselle
Whoa!
Is happening in like a dip, like it's happening quicker than everything out, and they're gonna come down via sub and or something and save the day.
I think that is my take too, because do you remember in Fast 9 when Jacob like drives off the cliff and then Cypher is there with her magnet plane,
helicopter
or-
yes
That Hurry seems up, like yeah. that seems like the move.
100%.
It feels like they will drive up and be like, guys, you have to jump. And then just the helicopter will crash.
Yep.
We'll see. Wow. So we just dropped two major spoiler bombs.
Spoiler alert.
The movie tries to convince us that it's so funny. Tries to convince us that Roman, Tej, Ramsey, and Han are
dead via plane crash.
Obviously not.
No.
And also, craziest reveal, including the Hobbs reveal, is that Giselle, aka Gal Gadot, is
alive. Slay.
I wonder who rescued her. Allegedly Cypher.
Imagine when you fall out of your... Because we're going to get the flashback. Is Cypher just like there with a car and like a cushion, like trash bag?
We were talking about this right after the movie.
Like,
because so it's sort of... It's in the trailer. So if you've seen the trailer, you know this. But... Jason Momoa's as Dante. Dante's origin as a villain is that, like,
Dante's Inferno.
Dom and squad rocked mm-hmm. his shit in Fast Five yes. in Brazil.
Uh-huh.
Because he killed his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's the son of the villain mm-hmm. from Five. They killed his dad. They shoved his car into the river. Dante barely survived. Mm-hmm. He's out for revenge. Mm-hmm. But there's an extensive flashback sequence at the beginning of the film, including footage from Fast Five, which I'm a little bit of a sucker for. I have to be honest.
Seeing that movie plays like gangbusters, because guess what? It's pretty good.
It's the best movie. So I assume that they're going to do the same thing for Giselle.
Yes.
How did she survive? We don't know.
It's a huge year for Gal Gadot cameos.
What else?
She also cameoed in Shazam 2 at the end, appearing to save the day.
Oh, as Wonder Woman?
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Wait, did you not know that?
I didn't.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Spoilers.
Oh, yeah, because I was really interested in seeing Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods.
Spoiler for Shazam 2, Fury of the Gods. I need to say this.
Skip ahead a couple minutes if you don't want it.
So Shazam dies.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Billy Batson, like, sacrifices himself. And so they're burying him. And all of a sudden, you cut to, like, the Wonder Woman stinger, but it's, like, during a funeral, so it's, like, really out of place because you're, like, on a gravestone, and then it's, like, turning narrow, and, like, you pan over, and they had a thing earlier where Billy was, like, trying to flirt with Wonder Woman, or, like, was flirting with Wonder Woman, and then it's actually her, and she, like, uses lightning or whatever to revive him. I forget, like, how it plays out.
Wait.
Yes.
I'm so confused.
Uh-huh. She helps bring him back to life through, like, magic and stuff.
So Wonder Woman has the power of regeneration? Like
it's like her...
She can bring people back from the magician.
I forget how it works. Maybe he didn't fully die, but basically...
Oh,
like,
Jaimon Hansu is there?
Yeah, but there's, like, some magic stuff that happens. Again, I saw this movie probably, like, 2 months ago,
like,
and I forget everything.
But they're, like, burying him?
Yeah, they're, like, putting him in the ground.
God, that sounds so bad.
It was crazy. It was wild. But huge year for Gal Gadot cameos.
The thing is, I now can't take anyone's death seriously.
I agree.
Ever, because nothing sticks.
She should have stayed dead.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly, the reason that I'm not mad about it in Fast and Furious world is that everybody comes back from the dead.
Yes.
This movie allegedly kills off Jacob.
There's no way.
I guarantee he's not dead.
No. No.
I guarantee.
If Giselle can fall out of a plane, he can survive 3 cars crashing.
Yeah. Like, it's annoying because I don't feel any emotion when shit like this happens.
I agree.
That's
frustrating.
So there's that. And then the other reason is that there's, like, a little bit of a runner that gets dropped very quickly of Han trying to get back into the dating scene.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I really don't want him to have a love interest in this movie because I, like, am still not over him and Giselle. So when they brought her back, I was like, okay, aww. I have to admit, I'm pretty excited for, one, their sizzling chemistry, but two, like, a good love, a reunion love story. Yeah. It feels like, because they already did Dom and Letty and they're not going to break them up again. So now we can, like,
I agree.
Do it with Giselle.
Do we think that it ends with the two of them in Tokyo, but happy?
Yeah. That feels
something like that.
Absolutely what it's going to do.
And then Lucas Black shows up. Now I see here.
Looking.
It's me.
Another 30 years older.
He looks like a grandpa. I'm so sorry.
There's a lot of people in this movie.
Back to what we were doing.
I think we should just lay out, like, there's 5 different threads of the characters.
So threads, yes.
There's 5 different characters of the threads. We'll start with the easiest one to get out of the way, which is Letty and Cypher.
Uh-huh.
Letty gets taken in by the police during the first big set piece in the first act, which just takes place in Rome. And mm-hmm. it's kind of like pinball? With a bomb?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're basically doing kind what they did with the safe, but with a bomb.
Yes. Yeah. Where they're, like, trying to navigate a bomb through the streets of Rome so that it doesn't crash into the Vatican and explode.
Oh, we're going to blow up the Vatican. Oh, my God. You guys are crazy.
God,
you're
guys
going
are
to hell.
Crazy. You're going to hell.
What if we fucked?
We will listen. We have to build it up.
Basically,
Letty gets captured and she gets thrown in a fucking weird high-tech cyber security Black Ops prison in the middle of Antarctica.
Yep.
With who else but Cypher?
Who shows up in the beginning looking battered and bruised.
Because Dante wants God's Eye.
Yes.
And her tech.
Right.
So he goes and he rocks her shit. A lot of people get their shit rocked.
Everyone
movie.
Gets beat up. Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is, we'll get it.
And then, okay, listen.
Yes.
I did not know that I needed Letty versus Cypher, much less them mm-hmm. becoming reluctant allies.
Mm-hmm.
I needed it so bad.
It was so good. I think what made that scene work the best is the fact that the fight because the trailer's pitch, like, you see the fight in the trailer.
Right.
So I was like, oh, are they going to be like tested on? Is this going to be a brain transplant? What's going to happen?
God, you were going full
look,
full sci-fi.
Who knows where they're going?
Hey, listen,
she
already had amnesia.
Right.
Anything
and
could
Dom
happen.
And Dom already could have Sherlock vision. So, yes. Like, you never know.
Yes. Dom should have his own NBC procedural.
The good driver. what I liked about that scene was the fact that it's Letty bringing on the fight basically to exact revenge on Cypher.
Yes.
Versus it being something brought on by other people. Like, it would have been so cheap if it was like the two of them were kind of forced to fight or something.
Yeah.
Instead, it was just Letty just being like,
I'm gonna
I have
fuck
4 minutes.
Up.
Oh, let's fuck.
Yeah.
Or fight.
Ooh, a little
Why not both?
Slip there. But then it's great because they have to team up to get out of Antarctica.
Yeah.
Helped in the very end by Giselle. I'm just saying that's like a good girl trio that I want to see. Reminds me of at the end of Fate of the Furious. That's the one where they're in Antarctica
as well.
Where they're in
yeah.
Russia or something.
Yeah.
With Ramsey.
I agree.
And,
yeah. And Michelle.
And
yeah.
It's yeah.
It is good when the girls work together.
Let
it doesn't
Michelle
feel...
Rodriguez be an action star.
It
and
doesn't...
this movie does.
Yes.
Which is great.
And also, the thing, I don't know if you know this, but Charlize is pretty tall. And Michelle
is
pretty short.
So tall.
So when they're fighting, it's an incredible dynamic.
She's so tall. I love it.
When she lifts Michelle up and
yes.
Michelle is like the size of her chest.
Michelle Rodriguez is pretty small.
What's she like 5'3"?
Yeah. I love them so much. Incredible. I love them so much. That was
they
my
have
favorite.
Good chemistry also.
Yeah, no surprise.
No.
I recently watched Dungeons and Dragons, and it was really nice
movie.
To see Michelle Rodriguez in something that wasn't a Fast and Furious movie,
yeah.
just to see her play something different. I think I'm a stan.
I think I'm a stan. Can we also spoil that movie? Because I just need to talk about a specific character in that movie.
Is it Small Bradley Cooper?
It's Small Bradley Cooper.
I was not
steals the show.
I think it was a fun cameo.
I was shocked. Why? How?
I don't know.
How did...
That was my first question was like...
The maestro? What are you doing in here?
In Dungeons and Dragons, Michelle Rodriguez has a kink for like small...
Small kings.
Short kings. But like
yes.
short kings.
Like
as
real
in, like,
short.
Dwarf
like
size.
1 foot one.
Kings. Good bit.
I also really like that her and Chris Pine also don't end up necessarily together throughout it. Like, they're just really good pals for a lot of it, which is nice.
And it's great. They're brother and sister.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's phenomenal.
But that they're also like co-parents. It's
yeah.
great.
It's
I love
good movie.
Such a good dynamic is like a like male female friendship.
Yes. Which is rare.
So nice. So nice. But obviously the right thing to do, because I also think that Michelle Rodriguez and Chris Pine would be like a weird odd pair. They definitely don't give romantic chemistry.
No.
That's that. The next group, my least favorite storyline would be...
Can I take a guess? Is
yeah.
it the London squad?
Yeah. What the fuck?
What the hell is going on here?
Okay. When you have four characters, three of whom have been in like almost every single movie.
Yep.
This is Roman, Tej, Han, and Ramsey.
Uh-huh. A good
they
squad.
Have nothing to
no.
do
nope.
in this movie.
Uh-uh.
They do absolute. They do not accomplish one single thing except attempt to meet Dom at the rendezvous,
yep.
which they say about 25 times.
Yes. And then what happens?
Their helicopter crashes. Great. There's some weird runner about Roman leading his first mission
yeah.
in Rome, which turns out to be a setup by Dante. Big
mm-hmm.
surprise. So then he's all like bent out of shape. This is the movie where, sadly, I was the most annoyed with Roman.
I was too. Because Roman
Dude,
usually
sucks,
really works.
Man. You remember how, I think it was on the Fate of the Furious episode, where I was like, we need to like make Roman an actual character again.
Yeah.
Like, he deserves
yeah.
better.
Well, the thing is, he's really good in 9.
Yeah,
because
they
he
actually
has,
give him shit.
He's the one talking about all the meta shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who has the whole action set piece where he's shot it like 20 times and doesn't die.
Yeah, where he's like, guys, I think we're invincible. I don't
yeah.
think we can die. And then when he and Tej get to go to space, it's so good.
It's incredible. The chemistry
so
between
great.
Them is so good, and their jokes are usually pretty funny. Mine is like, we've talked about it before, like the Ramsey and them stuff is always
meh.
Icky,
they've fully dropped it
yes.
and they're just like a squad, which is really nice.
Smart.
It's so nice to just have Ramsey be part of the group.
Good haircut also.
Oh my god. She really has a little short haircut. She has a bomber jacket. Oh,
that's a really good look on her.
Ooh. Yeah. Initially for like half a second when they were doing like, oh Han, let's get you on the dating apps, I was like, are we going for like a Han and Ramsey thing?
Oh boy.
Where
yeah.
is this going? Because I think everyone has determined that we can't split up Roman and Tej by giving one of them a partner.
Mm-mm.
They are each other's partners.
Yep. Whether they know it or not.
But they are so annoying in this movie, especially yes. Roman. And it sucks because I don't think it's Tyrese or Ludacris's fault, but I think that they are like far and away just horribly, horribly served by the script.
I just don't think they have anything to do. I will say I do like when they get into a little slapping fight with each other. I think it's silly because it reminded me of Too Fast, Too Furious when Brian and Roman fight.
Yes. But
I'm like a little gay.
But they're like in a fight in the middle of like a random tech store. The fight doesn't lead to anything.
Not just a random tech store. Brooke, who owns
Pete
that tech store?
Davidson's tech store. Playing a like sort of black market tech guy named Bowie.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why is he in it?
I don't know. It's a very random cameo. I will say, I was kind of into his performance, though. He wasn't just doing his Pete Davidson thing. He was, like, doing a little something with it. But
also, like, Han trips for a moment.
Half a beat of Han tripping off, like, a special muffin. Again, that was really where I was like, guys.
Mm-hmm. What are we
all
doing
All of
here?
This should have been
Leave
back
that
to
the
drawing
room
board.
Floor.
It's not. It doesn't bode well that they could have cut that entire storyline.
Nothing happens.
But this is the problem when you like don't understand how to work with an ensemble. Is that it's like those are really important characters, and you're making them fuck around and do absolutely nothing, and they're not even funny.
I think that's the biggest issue. Is like these movies work the best a lot of the times when it's the ocean setup, where it starts out with everyone kind of being a little disparate and we have to get the gang together, and then we end with everyone together.
But this is the problem. The next movie
is going
to
be
when they
that.
Have to get the gang together.
Right. And instead in this one, it's the gangs together and we split up. And so you have all of your favorite characters sort of sequestered off, which can be okay, but you don't actually have, you know, the whole franchise is about family, but like it is a genuine thing. Like when you don't have them together, you can feel the absence of the push and pull of people. And so like when you throw these characters off to the sidelines, it just doesn't have any emotional resonance for the rest of the movie.
Especially because there's one Han, I think like is served the best of that group.
Probably.
One, because Sun Kang continues to be number one, the hottest man I've ever seen.
Yes.
Number two.
Thank God his hair is long again.
Just so goddamn charming.
Yeah.
Oh, like every time he says a line, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I buy that line.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's just really fucking good.
Yeah.
And he gets to do the most fighting.
Yes.
As he deserves. He and Statham have like a little tete-a-tete.
Yes.
They meet up with Statham. Statham gives them some cars and then immediately disappears from the movie.
He's out of there.
Good decision.
He had to go film Meg 2.
Good decision, because I was like, we cannot handle any more people. He'll come back. It'll be good.
Yeah.
But like the fact that they don't even really like use everyone's strengths, there's no sequence where they're like, okay, Ramsey as like the tech person, Roman as like the driver. Like, give me again.
Just one thing.
Give me something. There's nothing.
Again, it's like when we had Ramsey in the last one, you know, where Ramsey can't drive, then you have the humor out of that. Like we don't have something there.
She's just
like
driving
that.
Normally in this one.
Like, when did she learn to drive?
I think that we should have kept her as the only non-driver.
It
would have been funny.
It's a good bit.
It's a good bit. Next, technically, like, Mia and Jacob and Little B.
Little B,
but mostly Jacob and Little B. If you're unfamiliar, understandably, Little B would be Brian Jr.
Mm-hmm. Named after the alive Brian.
The alive Brian, who's very alive and lives in this universe. Which, again, I fully stand by.
Completely fine with that.
Only very frustrating thing about Brian being alive and having a bunch of kids with Mia is that Mia can never be in these movies for a very long time. Because
Agreed.
Every time peril happens, she's like, I gotta get back to Brian and the kids. Because anything other than that would be insane.
I
for her to be like,
agree.
It's okay, I'll stay. Like, no, she has to go back to Brian.
It worked for Fast 9 because it was Jacob is here. I have to like handle the score with my brother. Like, let me in and then I will go home. Yeah.
In this one, again, for her character, it makes sense, but it kind of ends up doing Jordana Brewster dirty because she's essentially babysitting Don or the agency's, I lost track of who was who. The agency's goons come in. Jacob shows up. The two of them, it's kind of fun. They do like a nice little brother sister tag team. And then
Jacob throws someone through the floor,
which was pretty good. And then immediately, Mia's like, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Which, again, you can't have her do anything right. else.
She wasn't even supposed to be in this one. Like, Vin fought to have her in it because she wasn't in the original script. And not to say you can kind of feel it, but you can kind of feel it. You can
definitely feel it. I think it's nice that she's in the family barbecue scene. For sure, you get to see, like, her and Rita Moreno.
She's like, my abuela. Nice. Abuelita, sorry.
I'm very confused as to why Rita Moreno is in this movie. She's in one scene.
Did you hear about the casting that Rita Moreno's grandson, during the premiere of West Side Story, went up to Vin Diesel and was like, my grandma should be in the Fast franchise. And that was the impetus for it.
Honestly, the better question is, why the fuck was Vin Diesel at the West Side Story premiere?
Well, because he was in Saving Private Ryan, and Spielberg, like, low-key discovered him. Yeah.
How could I forget? Uh-huh. I was like, what is that crossover?
Yep.
Wow. Well, that's a slay. And I love that she I love that she is the matriarch of the Toretto family. Yeah. I was like, if we have Helen Mirren and we have Rita Moreno, I'm going to need them to, like,
they need to
cross
meet.
Paths.
Yes. Yes. We're building, like, a book club of sorts.
Oh, my God.
Or 80 for Brady version.
Where is the crossover?
80 for Corona?
And Fast and Furious.
Who do we cast? Who are the other two queens we can cast?
I mean, do we need to find new people?
I feel like we can't bring over some...
Okay.
Is Rita even in the book club right now?
No, but she is in 80 for Brady.
Right. But, like, so I think we can have, like, book club adjacent or 80 for Brady adjacent queens, you know?
Yeah. So Helen Mirren. Mm-hmm. Let's get Judi Dench in there.
Oh, fun.
So let's have, like, two Brits and
a
two
sleigh.
Americans.
Yes, so we need...
And then who's, like, another interesting family member that we can bring in? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Let's bring in Kurt Russell's wife.
Oh, fun. Goldie Hawn?
Yeah. His actual wife and his character's wife. Okay.
Yes.
Goldie Hawn, Rita Moreno.
Honestly, Goldie Hawn could be, like, Brie Larson's mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Helen Mirren and, who am I missing? Judi Dench are, and you know what? That's how we get our all-female Fast and Furious spinoff. They're, like, They're the overseers, you know?
What if they're not even the overseers? It's just them.
They're whipping around, yes. like, Italy.
Look, Helen Mirren can drive. We know that.
Yes, she can.
It was proven for a fact.
Like, but I really think that they should be, like, we have to put together a team.
And it's
Mia and Letty and Brie now. Yes. Sorry, Tess. Excuse me.
Oh, my God. How dare you? How could you forget Tess?
Charlize.
Nobody.
And, well, now, of course, we have Danielle and Melchior as mm-hmm. well.
Okay. Big fan of her.
Big fan. Her character, on the other hand, one of the worst things I've ever seen. Worst female character in the Fast franchise, I would say probably since, like, Tokyo Drift.
I would probably have to agree. Okay, which is a worse moment? Sort of the interactions with her where Vin is saving her, or when Vin picks up and carries Brie Larson?
I would say the Brie Larson moment, just because... So, at one point, Vin, like, bridal style carries Brie mm-hmm. Larson, who has a random wound.
One wound to her shoulder.
And it's like, he picks her up in slow motion. The sun is shining behind him. I just hated it so much. Because he's already spent the whole scene saving Danielle Melchior, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Isabel.
Mm-hmm. And AKA I was like, Ratcatcher 2.
Yes. And I was like, must we do this?
I know.
Also, Brie Larson is clearly a very capable secret agent.
She had the whole scene in the bar where she beat everyone up.
Yeah. Very confusing. Cheers. She also, a shoulder, like, if you're going to injure her enough to do that, you got
to,
like,
neck.
Hit her in the gut.
Something to the leg.
Or something.
Something. Yeah.
Something. So that she literally can't walk. It's a shoulder wound. Let's all calm down.
Yeah.
I hated that. I hated it a lot.
Yeah.
I know that I am bitter, but, like, I hated it a lot.
Can I say, though?
Yes.
I was a fan, and I don't know how you feel, but I was a fan of the Jacob in Little B thing. Because basically John Cena is just doing his Peacemaker performance, mm-hmm. which is a really good performance and is a really fun show. And while it's, like, completely, like, out of line with what Jacob was in the previous movie, I think it works for this one.
I disagree with you.
Oh, no.
I would like it if it was removed from context.
Sure.
And that
you hadn't seen F9.
We like a good lone wolf and cub
situation.
Big guy, small boy.
Of course.
On the road.
Mm-hmm.
Building a kayak into a plane.
Sure. Playing classic cassette tapes.
An absolutely insane 180 from not just, like, personality-wise who mm-hmm. he is in F9, but it is never addressed.
That he tried to kill the family?
Or how they reconciled.
Uh-huh.
never
well he
ever
like comes
addressed.
To help the team at the end of F9, so reconcile.
I know, but like he just is playing someone completely different.
I know,
which is all well and good. Not, yeah. But no, but actually it's not. But actually I take that back, because no, it's not. Again, if this yeah. was, if he was a new character, I'd be like, how cute, how fun.
Sure.
But you can't ignore the context.
No, I know.
And people were even mad, you know, justice for Han, you know,
right,
when they teamed up with Shaw.
Yeah.
Again, that's just, I don't know. It's a very weird storyline to me to yeah. include, and I was like, why is there so much of the storyline? Turns yeah. out, spoiler alert, it's because Jacob dies.
Right.
But does he?
But he's not dead.
But that's the thing, is
but
like
they have been saying in the press, like, it's a pretty substantial, like, they've been really trying to pitch that it is like a death, but
it's not that I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna be so upset if he doesn't come back. I just don't believe them.
I don't either.
That's the thing. Yeah. I also now don't believe marketing people at all.
Me neither.
Because
can't
of
trust
so
fucking
many
anybody.
Things, but yeah. I literally can't trust anything that they say,
I
and
agree.
It honestly annoys me because I can't like feel any stakes ever.
Yes. It is like, honestly, like the, look, we talk about comic book movies a lot. It is sort of like the issue where our industry is, in which like we never actually feel a sense of closure because every movie is just leading to another
exactly.
movie.
Exactly. It pisses me off. Anyway, the kid who plays
the kid is good.
Baby Brian, Leo Abello Perry, is
a good kid.
So cute.
Yeah.
He is so cute.
Good kid actor.
I would argue that they do not do him any favors by
no.
continuing to hold on his shocked expressions every time a car explodes.
Yes.
Again, I just
kid
you
actors
know,
it's hard.
It's also, this is, I understand that these films are outside the grip of reality, but when you introduce a kid to the equation, it kind of shakes things.
It does
a little bit. There was one moment where like John Cena essentially like causes two cars to crash
yeah.
together, and he's like, whoa, cool. And I'm like, man, you just like slaughtered somebody.
Yeah, like, brother,
we need to talk about the cost of human life for a minute,
right.
since you're 10 and,
this,
and you are the
yeah,
one that just
this kid
like hit
does
the
not
button.
Understand it. Yeah. The kid is loading like
yes.
missiles
yes.
into a car
and being like, yeah, that was awesome.
He's like, that was totally wicked.
And this is the problem with the Fast and Furious franchises, is because it's all cars based. It's like those are humans.
Yes.
Those
yeah.
are human people.
Lives are lost. Families that will probably come back to
again,
haunt you.
He's just really small
yeah.
to be doing this shit.
Kid is tiny.
He's really cute though. I am not a huge fan of kids in action movies.
Me
I
neither.
Have to say.
It usually doesn't work.
I think that
it's
it
fine.
Works fine.
I liked it. I understand why you didn't.
I didn't dislike it. I would say I was neutral on it.
I think that's so valid though.
Thank you so much.
I just was like looking at my notes here, and I think this does answer, like, I guess this is like my thing of like why this franchise needs to end, and Diesel like talked about it, and I just really wanted to get to this quote before I forgot, because it's just lingering here. What Diesel said is, what gets harder about the films is the work off screen, the thinking, the expanding. It's hard to continue mythologies. There's a reason why Tolkien stopped writing after a while. I think comparing himself to Tolkien, of course. But
course,
I think
Vin
that
Diesel,
is
naturally.
So relevant to this movie specifically.
I agree.
Because it does feel like there is a lot of hard work being done off screen to try to make these threads tie together.
And they don't.
And to make something coherent when it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't come together.
Yeah.
Is the thing. I think that there are worse Fast and Furious movies than this one.
For sure.
But it's
maybe one that gets presented to us
yes.
with a Hobb and a Shaw.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to our rankings.
We'll get to there.
Anyways,
continue on with our groups.
Yes. So basically the last group,
mm-hmm.
the group that we've all been waiting for.
Do we technically, where does Brie Larson go in this?
I put her in, well, I guess we talked about her. I kind of put her in the agency storyline, I guess, which
yeah.
is Brie Larson and Alan Ritchson.
Sure. She looks, I like her suit.
Yeah, I think it's a total waste of her, though. She's
she doesn't
in, like,
really
three
do anything.
Scenes, and she's
yeah.
not... It's, Brie Larson, to me, is way too big of a name mm-hmm. to be rolling up and playing an FBI agent.
I
agree. Excuse me.
An agency agent.
For three scenes.
She said she was a fan of the franchise and was lobbying to get into it, which, like, sure. But, like,
I think
we
could
do
a little more to do.
We could do, like, 4 hours on Brie Larson's career. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry.
I said,
what?
We could do, like, 4 hours on Brie Larson's career. It's just
yeah.
so fascinating.
Yeah. I think that people well, first of all, people are fucking weird about Brie Larson.
Are you saying like a certain subsect of the internet is a little weird about her?
People are literally so weird about her.
Yes. I hate it.
It's so annoying. Uh-huh. If she wants to do a bunch of franchise films,
fucking who cares?
Let her do a bunch of franchise films. It's fine.
Get her bread.
It's fine.
It's fine.
I don't care.
Anyways, I think she's fine. I'll be curious to see if they bring her back.
Yeah, she's not dead, so yes.
Yeah. Maybe she'll go join the girl group. Okay, final group.
Final group is Dom versus Dante.
Dante.
Played by the one and only Jason Momoa. Jordan, we had no idea.
No, we did not.
We had no idea when we were going into this movie how blessed we would be by Jason Momoa's performance. Uh-huh.
Can you say your review?
Yes, I will. Thank you. If you're hearing this and you think it's funny, go give me a like.
Yeah, on Letterboxd.
I don't usually ask for it, but I will because I think this is good. Here's my review.
Thank you.
Of Fast X. Jason Momoa rolled up with the mental stability of the Joker, the mannerisms of Jack Sparrow, and the wardrobe of Harry Styles.
So good.
Thank you.
So good.
He has been described by himself and by other people on this press tour as androgynous and flamboyant.
Yes.
And that Jason Momoa himself said that he was really excited to play a very different, quote unquote, less macho character than what he usually does. I assumed that he was going to be doing his standard macho thing. Kind of like John Cena in
F9. Sure, yeah.
That's what I was expecting.
Me too.
What we got,
oh boy,
we is got a man better. Who could be the Grand Marshal of the West Hollywood Pride Parade.
Yes.
He is.
He's so good.
Killing it in this movie. I've seen a couple reviews that are like, his performance is grating and over the top and annoying.
And
to them, I say.
Wrong.
Incorrect.
Go to prison.
In my opinion, he was maybe the only person who knew what movie he was in.
I would agree. I would agree.
Other than Michelle Rodriguez, who honestly always brings it, in my opinion. She just is really good at like this type of like slightly B movie.
I think the question is like whether or not, I mean, like I think he was tapped into it, whether the writers or whatever or not, because they were talking about like how it tones down the masculinity, which we need these days, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm like, if you're writing this on the page and you're reading this and then he's acting it, is this not just you looking at Jafar or any Disney villain and doing that type of performance? Like, this is so Disney villain coded.
Yes, very much, very, very much so.
It's incredible.
I think that like he really brought back what villains used to be, because we haven't seen a villain like this in a while. I think because
who's twirled a mustache,
one, it's extremely queer coded by their own admission and by the admission of a lot of reviews, which I was like, for once the internet is on our side,
we are here.
But I feel like the most recent kind of like villain tropes have been one little nerdy tech guy,
I agree,
two, super macho kind of like toxic men are toxic, and three, Ice Queen,
right,
who is always there,
which
but being
is,
like I'm
has
a
been
strong
someone
woman
in all of these this that's you just described three villains in this franchise.
Who's our nerdy little tech guy? Did we have someone?
It was like, well, it was like Cypher adjacent, like the guy working with Cypher.
Him, and also like I don't know, any of those early drug lords are also interchangeable.
Counts,
that's the thing. So we haven't had like a colorful, flamboyant villain.
Would you say a purple villain?
In so long. He rolls up in a purple two-piece at one point.
Mm-hmm.
It's, oh my God, it's amazing.
The grandma straps on his glasses.
Yes. Like, it's so, it really feels like Jason Momoa using his persona in a way that I really love.
He's
definitely
also weaponizing
He's also
it,
very cool. The so cool. only moment that I honestly thought felt really like out of line with how he was playing it was the moment where he like licks Daniela Melchior's
I completely
face.
Agree. It feels so out of pocket.
I was like, that's random.
Yeah.
Because like he's kind of doing a thing where he's holding her hostage, but it's really, it's quite funny where he'll be like, oh, I'm so scared. Like, oh, yeah, that's so crazy. Like, I don't know.
Oh, we're doing a hostage situation.
Oh my God, that's so crazy. But then he licked her, and I mean like full on, like up the side of the face, and I was
like, I did not
like
that. I did not like that.
That's not in line with who he is. And also it was just like, hasn't this poor woman gone through enough?
Right.
She does not get to do a single cool thing in this entire movie. It sucks.
But it feels like he like saw the Joker and he was like, what if gayer?
Yeah. What if I did the Joker as the Joker was meant to be done? Yes. What if I did old school Joker?
Yes. Yes. Cesar Romero Joker.
Yes. And yeah. I think it's so perfect to kind of tie that together with like being like a fancy man.
I agree.
Because this franchise is so kind of like muscly and gritty and everyone's
tank
really
tops,
collar. Yeah. Coronas. Not a color in sight unless right. it's red. I mean, Roman is like the closest thing you get to sort of like right, someone who gold, peacocks, yeah. you know? But like Jason Momoa is just taking to a whole other level. There's a scene, I didn't clock until the second scene that his nails were painted.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a second scene
yes.
where he's painting the nails of dead guys in his yeah. garden, which I was like, oh my God, it's so Joker.
Right.
Like,
right. I was like, it's good and gay and I liked it. And then of course I immediately went online and started reading reviews and people were like, this is bad queer coding. Like, this is so toxic. Like,
I would
the
argue.
Homophobia is screaming and I'm like, whatever, I like it.
I think this is excellent queer coding.
I agree.
Do you know why? One, it's actual queer coding
yes.
in a way that feels fun uh-huh. and not weird, because I think, like, to be clear, he's clearly totally off the rails.
There's not a norm, like, the man is crazy.
Which means that he's kind of free to do whatever he wants, yeah. and this isn't some weird, like, you know, Dom, we could have been something, you
right.
and I would
right.
argue that would maybe tip it over. I love that he wears a bunch of colors and paints yeah. his nails and is kind of always flirting with Dom and yeah. also everyone else in sight. Do you know what? I think it's a good time.
And also, like, granted, his whole plan for revenge is so silly and stupid, and I think that what's like makes it good, like he is like a cartoon villain.
He's a cartoon character.
Like, there is yes. no like tie to reality that this man has. All he keeps saying, he's like, I'm going to exact revenge and more for like what you did, blah blah blah
yes.
blah blah. But like, it's fine because he is like delivering this bravado in a way that feels so antithetical to Dom
yeah.
that it works.
Yeah,
like Dom, especially in this movie, Vin is really playing
extra
like
subdued.
One emotion and
yeah.
it's just like, oh my God, whoa, my family. And
family.
In this, then you cut to Momoa, who is like, my guy,
and
I'm here.
I'm telling you, he's
hello.
Like, he's prancing around. He's dancing. One
he
of his
dances so much.
First, his first interaction, like face-to-face with Dom, he says, Enchanté, and does a full-on curtsy
uh-huh.
with like little flappy hands. That's why I say the mannerisms of Jack Sparrow. He's very
yeah.
much giving that
yes.
like,
mm-hmm. Ooh, everything's moving. Why is the rum gone?
Yes, exactly. He keeps calling Dom Dommy, which
there's
we
not a,
clocked
we clocked
in
him.
The
yes.
trailer.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
And we were like, interesting.
Well, that second trailer came out. We tweeted. We were like, hey, gay question
maybe,
mark
maybe, but we could have never anticipated
no
honestly.
But there's nothing straight about calling Dom
Tommy, but I mean
the only thing he wants to Dom
exactly
is
first
Dom
of all, first of all, but I really think that, like, to me, I mean, the bar is so low, but to me it honestly feels like a huge win for literally the creative team to be like, yeah, we really wanted to do like a fun androgynous, like very not macho villain here.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, yes.
Yeah, that's the first queer character in the entire franchise.
Well, not by our standards.
No, that's
but maybe
true.
By the franchise
by
standards.
Like the heterosexual POV.
I would like to throw out a couple of Dante quotes.
Dante-isms. Yes.
Feel free to chime in.
Oh,
with any
sure.
I may
with
have
some
missed.
Snidely whiplashes.
They do a car chase,
yes.
of course, where Dante is like, ha ha ha, I have secretly planted bombs under all the other cars, so you have to pick someone to save.
It's like a train, like,
yes, exactly.
Trolley problem.
It also feels like he literally, he's so mustache twirling.
It's crazy.
It's
awesome.
Bananas,
yeah.
At one point, he leans out of his car, real cutesy to Dom, and says, wondering if the carpet matches the drapes. It does. First of all, I'm not sure that I totally understand the context of what that line means.
Are they purple?
I mean, that's the question.
Is that what he's doing?
Because he kind of like flashes his nails, which are
right.
also painted purple when he does that.
Right.
So I was like, questionable. Great line.
Good line.
The nails are everything to
nails
me. The nails
so
are
good.
Really everything
yeah.
to me.
Yeah, the next ism, yes.
Yes. The other one that I have is at one point Dom goes into essentially like, I don't know how to do, what is a, okay, there's, have you seen Jessica Jones? You haven't.
No.
Okay. First of all, Kilgrave in that
is that
show. That is David Tennant.
David Tennant, yeah.
He wears
yeah.
a lot of purple, thing number one. Thing number two, he does a weird lick of the side of Jessica Jones's face.
Ugh, which, what is with this?
It works much better in that because he's like actually a fucking creep about her. But number three, he has a room in his house that's like 100% photos of her. Jessica Jones. That when Dom walked into what is essentially like an immersive media experience
in a former
videos of him
police station.
Yes. And in this abandoned police station in Brazil, I was like, then the man's obsessed.
My man has one crush, and it is Dom Toretto.
And Dante calls him and is like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed you discovered my vision board. And just to be clear, I mean, we can't knock in the sound bites because this film is in theaters.
That
but
is
like,
an incredible line delivery.
I'm not exaggerating. Yeah. He's all but twirling his hair, being like,
oh my God.
Sorry, I'm so
you read my fanfic.
Embarrassed. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so fucking good.
I love at the end when he's like, you hit me with a helicopter. Ow.
Yes. There. Every time we cut to him, I could feel myself get excited. Like, it felt like there was an energy back in the movie. Like, there was a spark that lit the flame that brought the First Order down.
I wanted to... First of all, every time that he was interacting with a new character, I was really excited to see how it was going to go.
I agree.
When he and Dom showed up face to face, I was like, I cannot wait to see what this
Love
is about
it.
To
yeah.
be. And
when he licks the knife,
I was going to say at the beginning, he stabs one of Cypher's like guys. And when we say lick the knife, like he puts the knife in his mouth and sucks it.
Yeah. He sucks a
and
full
then puts, like, not a like bloody
a,
knife.
Not like a small knife. Like, it's a chunky knife.
But, like, just to be clear, it's not like a lick on, like, the outside. Like, you would
no, he,
or,
like,
I don't
deep
know,
throats a
some
knife.
Peanut butter off. Yeah, it's fully, like, in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's great. No notes.
Yelped a little bit. I was like, ah!
Yeah, we should say it was, like, us. It was probably, like, 15 people in
we
the
went to,
pre-screening.
We went to a Universal employee screening.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Jordan, for the hookup. Totally worth it. Super fun. Because everyone in the theater was like pretty
we were all on the
stoked
same
about
fucking plane.
Yeah. Everyone was laughing and applauding for Jason Momoa.
Yes.
And I think that like while his performance is so gonzo and cranked up really big, and I can see how some people incorrectly might think it's over the top, he is really the only thing that's kind of like bringing life to this movie.
I agree. Yeah,
which is sort of a problem.
He's bringing the most and everyone else is sort of not. And I think it's the biggest issue because it's like other, of course, it's like Dom-centric. And it really does feel like Vin is not checked in as much in this movie.
He's not. It's very clear that he's doing a performance. I don't know if you saw that video of him like on the red carpet talking about how excited he is about this film.
Yeah.
But like Dom is clearly a performance.
Yes.
Like this is not Vin just showing up and being Vin. Yeah. However, I think the problem is that Dom is not running this story. He's essentially just kind of like jumping from place to place, figuring out what to do.
Do you know what it reminded me of? It feels like Fate of the Furious a little bit, where I feel like that movie's biggest issue is the fact that Dom has to be the villain to the group.
Ugh.
And it feels like he can't drive the narrative as much. And that's really what I was getting from this one, where it's like, can we just like have Dom be Dom from like Fast Five or Fast Six, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like where he's just like fun and leaving the family and also like has his edge to him, but like with this movie it's really playing down the seriousness.
He's too serious, and I am with you on sort of this like Christ antichrist analogy where
bananas.
It feels like he has the weight of the world on his shoulders because of needing to protect his family, but it doesn't really play because that's his thing. That shouldn't be his burden. I think that they made a mistake being like the family is his gift.
I agree.
But also his burden. Like it can't be.
Yeah.
It can't be because it you get this.
When you tie it's like it's too much. I think with the kid, it's like tying these emotional stakes to it that just like adds an element that I don't know if the franchise necessarily needed. Like when it's baby mode, I think that's fine.
Baby mode is so great.
But like raising the kids now, like
12?
What do you think? How old do you think the kids?
I think
9,
the kid's supposed to be like
10, 8, whatever. I'm so bad at kids'
10.
Ages. But it's changing the dynamic a little bit much.
It's also taking away, not in a bad way, because like the found family is still there, but it's transitioning from found family to like family by blood,
right?
Which is just inherently a very different dynamic.
And also Letty pregnant, question mark?
Letty potentially pregnant.
Or trying to be pregnant, yeah.
Unsure.
Like, they're working on it. Something's happening. Letty will have a child by the end of this franchise.
I think that if they shot them back to back, I assume it all takes place in sort of this like compressed shot this, though. Timeline.
Well, they right, haven't they shot haven't. This yet.
They haven't because of the old director's workshop. Mm. But if it's supposed to be a cliffhanger and pick right back up.
Right.
But then again, that's what we all thought with Endgame. That's not what happened.
5 years later.
5 years later.
I do. I mean, there is like, look, not to fully knock Vince's performance, because there are parts that do get you. Like when he does smile and do that, like he does that little head tilt and smile. And like when him and Rita like chat or whatever, it's cute. Like there are like
pockets of moments that
really work for Dom. It's just really weirdly kind of everything with Dante feels a little stilted, just because Dante is bringing so much to the table that it doesn't feel like Dom is elevating as much, which is the issue where in Fast Five, it works so well because you have Hobbs being an insane person and you have Dom being an insane person, and their energy against each other creates this fire. Whereas with this one, it's just a one-sided
push. That's the thing. It is the Dante show, which I love.
Of course.
But I also think that like they didn't do an amazing job really setting up his motive, because basically the idea is that he's like, death isn't enough. I need to make you suffer. But by the end of the movie, he's like, I'm done with the suffering. It's now time for you to die. Yeah. And also, it's really not clear the suffering that he like wants, because he,
this is a big
first
part
of all,
of it, yes.
he sets up this whole thing in Rome that essentially makes them like the most wanted people in the world.
Sure.
Great. Then he drains all their accounts.
Why?
Sure.
I don't
know.
So
they have no money. Then he's like,
but don't worry,
I'm
going
to kill your
money
family.
Strapped to himself.
So random. Never explained. Again, so many like one-off jokes that don't really tie into the fabric of like what this movie is. Then he, I don't know. He wants to trap Dom on the Hoover Dam and then kill him.
But it's not, it's the Portuguese Dam.
Oh.
Because they're in Portugal, I think.
Excuse me. I'm so sorry. You were the one who said the Hoover Dam.
Well, because it just looks like the Hoover Dam.
Okay. My bad. My
bad. It's a dam.
It's a dam that you can drive a car down.
Yes.
As he does.
As it explodes.
As, yes.
With
as,
really,
as
really top-notch CGI.
Giant trucks. This is something that we really have to talk about.
Yeah.
I assume this is because there were so many production delays and they never changed the release date of this movie, because
I think it even got pushed back actually a little.
Yeah.
But still.
The CGI, and I assume that like if you see this movie in theaters 4 weeks from now, the CGI will probably look markedly better, because this has happened with a couple
movies in
the past where they're just still doing VFX like as the movie is rolling out into theaters. When I tell you that the CGI is really bad. Like, it was distractingly bad.
Yeah, there were some really rough parts.
There was green screen that felt so much like green
screen. Like, really just comped in, yeah.
Yeah. There's a plane that, like, drives over one of the action sequences, and it literally felt like they had
like a toy plane on
a string. Or also, you know when you're like doing something on your computer and you like take the arrow and you're like, and you're like moving the thing? That's what it felt like.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of fire in this movie.
That was my biggest issue.
Which is a huge problem, because all of the fire looks really
real fake. I think that we have had an issue across the whole industry with fire. I feel like
fire is the new water.
Because
water used to be the number one
water
thing.
Water used to be really
now
shitty.
It's fire.
Like pretty
fire
good.
Looks bad.
Fire looks bad now. Look, like, I get it's dangerous to light a real thing on fire. Just fucking do it. It looks better.
Listen, I'm not necessarily advocating to light an actual thing on fire.
I am.
But I agree that it always looks better.
Real practical effects look better.
Yeah, they look awesome. And like, if you're gonna crash two trucks together, is that really so hard to do? Nobody
probably
has to be driving,
because they're
the
like oil tankers. But yeah,
well, but you could just do the cabs, and then you could add
the oil stone,
stuff later. Listen, we've all seen Mad Max Fury Road.
We have.
Okay, we know.
You know it's a good movie.
And
Mad Max Fury Road.
The CGI has never bothered me in these movies.
It did on this one, though.
It really did. They also used to do a lot of stuff practically, like the bus jump from Furious 7.
This did not feel very practical.
I did not feel a single tangible stunt that made me go like and I think I have basically felt that with every single movie.
We'll get to it when we give out our awards, that was one of the harder parts of this. It was like, what scene really did make me go gasp? I mean, you look at even like the trailer, like the Fast 9 trailer and this trailer, like Fast 9 shows a lot of stuff.
Too much,
I would say. But all of the set pieces when that stuff does happen, fucking rock. Like when you do have the car swing across the
the canyon
mountains.
Yeah.
It like rules. But like in this one, they spoil so much. And especially towards the end, I feel like the trailer really blew like the third act.
It's because they have this whole, there's a lot of hand to hand combat stuff, which I like. I love hand to hand combat. But I think the problem is that they're like a huge, huge chunk of their drivers are tied up doing bullshit in London or just straight up not in the movie or in a Black Ops prison. Like, there's not that much car action, which, again, I understand it's difficult. Like, if that's where the production delays had to cut corners, I totally get it. But I agree with you in that, like, the trailer literally spoils the final stunt. The
final big set piece,
which is, I mean, like, the final, final. Not even, like, the lead
it's
up.
The last thing, and then
the
we cut to black.
The very last thing that happens is that Dom drives his car down the dam.
Yeah.
And hits the NOS.
That's it.
But there is a cool hit the NOS shot. Oh. Which we haven't gotten in a minute.
Save that for later.
Okay.
Don't spoil it.
Okay. I think that's...
That's pretty much it. Well,
post-credit scene.
Yeah. So...
Is that what you were going
to
say?
In December 2021, The Rock rules out returning to the franchise and labels Diesel's post as manipulation. Hobbs and Shaw comes out, doesn't do well.
Bad.
Necessarily.
Yeah. Underperforms.
Yes. The Rock has a little movie called Black Adam out, and it changes the power of the DC universe forever. The hierarchy of power is shifted.
It shifted out of his favor.
It did. I would say almost completely.
The thing that's hilarious is that the hierarchy of power in the DC universe is about to change. Hashtag the man in black. Hashtag do not go gently.
Into the night.
Into that. That was what every single post of his was like. The thing is, it really did change.
It did.
The hierarchy of power in that everyone from DC got fired, a new team got brought in, and Black Adam was promptly canceled.
Yep. He's dead in a ditch.
What's the post-credit scene on Black Adam?
He and Superman are going to fight.
Oh, right. Of course. How could I forget?
Come on.
And there is also no more Henry Cavill Superman.
Nope.
So.
Bye.
It's all done.
So.
It's all gone.
Take with all of that. So The Rock is in a currently interesting place, you know, in his career, kind of figuring things out. So all of a sudden,
he posted some unhinged Instagram videos after Black Adam happened. Did. Sorry, continue.
You're right. No. However, in March 2023, a leaked email from The Hollywood Reporter revealed that crew had returned for a button/tag that featured a quote-unquote guest cameo. So rampant speculation started. People were wondering who it is. Well... Reveal. It's The Rock post Black Adam coming back.
It is Dwayne Johnson. And I will say.
Yes.
It's a pretty good scene.
It's one, pretty good scene. Two, I think it's a good scene for some reasons. But the biggest reason is that in Hobbs and Shaw, he does not have his goatee.
Yes.
In this movie, he does have his goatee.
And it's a salt and pepper goatee. It's gray.
It looks good, baby.
He looks good.
He looks good.
I'm extremely pro Dwayne Johnson switching up his look in literally any
every
way.
Every single film. Yeah.
In any way, shape, or form that we can do.
I completely agree. Yes.
So the goatee, I was like, yes.
It's back. And everyone where he has had it.
I missed it so much.
It's good. Yes. He's good. Whenever he has the hair,
goatee is
he's
his
good.
Acting power.
Yes.
He looks good. He's got a salt and pepper goatee.
Looks great.
It's kind of, dare I say, a little bit hot.
It is.
Even though I'll agree. Also, he gets to really chew some scenery.
Oh,
and
he
I
does.
Miss the Rock chewing scenery. It's
I
the
do
same
too.
Thing where it's like, why do you have to be so self-serious? He's so self-serious. Even in Hobbs and Shaw, he's really self-serious. He's playing
the dial
a completely different character than Luke Hobbs.
Yes.
He is instead playing The Rock.
But who is he playing in Fast X?
Luke motherfucking Hobbs.
Oh, baby.
He gets to say the word son bitch.
Oh, boy, does he.
That slowly, he gets to crush a phone in his big hands.
Daddy's got to go to work.
He does not say daddy's got to go to work.
No, but he does got to go to work because his family's threatened.
Well, that's the thing is that, so there's, you know, I also was like, I am looking forward to potentially a Momoa v. Rock standoff because Momoa on the phone to him is like, well, Luke Hobbs, I had to include you in this little extravaganza. I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically the energy.
That's what he says.
And I was like, okay, could be fun.
Yeah.
Could be very
fun. I'm very excited for that.
Yeah.
Now, that does beg the question of, now maybe The Rock saves the family's life in the end?
I don't think Vin will let...
With the plane crash.
I could actually see that happening. I wouldn't be mad. I don't really care how they get rescued, I'm going to be honest.
I don't either. What if we cut forward in time and we don't actually see how they get rescued and the cliffhanger is just immediately solved off screen?
Oh, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Maybe. We can't know for sure.
For sure. So that's everybody.
That's everything. Yeah.
TLDR, movie mid, Jason Momoa, god tier.
Jason Momoa, one of the best performances maybe of all time.
Through the first brick at Stonewall.
I think Jason Momoa might show up at the end of our year is what I'll be saying.
That is also what I was thinking.
Calling my shot now, yeah?
It depends. It depends how much this movie sours for me over the year. Sure. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also, it's like, it's not that I'm like, oh, am I not serious enough because I think that Jason Momoa's performance is good and not like over the top. But I was just like, it really is what the movie needed.
Yeah.
I think that...
You know, it was a gulp of fresh water in a dry desert.
I think it could have been bad in a different movie.
Yeah.
But I think that it was really actually essential here. And I'm very glad.
I think Momoa...
God, he was so good.
He brings in, as you had said, like, it's the fact that it is Momoa. We know who he is. It just, there's just a lot working for the character. Apparently he lobbied or like talked to the head of Harley Davidson to get Harley Davidson's for this.
He just posted, good for him. He just posted about it on Instagram.
He's
he
was a like, good Instagram.
So good. Aloha, Jay. That's how he finishes all his Instagram posts. He posted a lot about like, oh, I was so excited to like get the Harley Davidson family. He also did all his own stunts, which is kind of awesome.
The thing is, you can tell this movie cuts really a lot during action scenes, and we don't really see a lot of punches land. But with Momoa, we hold on a lot.
And it's he's doing his own stunts. And it's also, it's kind of perfect in that he's not a villain who's afraid to get his hands dirty.
Yeah.
But he's not like so... Like, Dom is clearly the better driver.
Yeah.
So it's fun to see him like kind of ride around on his motorcycle and be like, I'm fast. You can't catch
me. And I'm furious.
Woo. Yeah. But he's also throwing one-liners. He's so
zingers galore.
He's so like roguish. He's so charming. I'm living for his painted nails and his jewelry. And like you said, his little grandma chain on his glasses. Like he's like sipping like a mojito at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He just, every line he gives will be like, talk about that. Finish your mojitos. I gotta go. I got stuff to do.
I have some drama to do. I have to go serve.
He shows up in a robe at one point, like a nice silk robe and like flip-flops with his toes painted. I mean,
I want to be living the life that he is living.
Come on. You're really
a good Nepo baby.
You're gonna show that to me and you're gonna tell me that
I don't
want that.
That it's homophobic?
To be clear, you mean Dante is a Nepo baby?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was like, I'm pretty sure Jason Momoa
is
just some guy.
Dante is a Nepo baby. He was born of the number one crime lord in Brazil.
Yes, naturally. Wow.
The most Nepo baby you could be.
Wow. Wow.
I did see a review that said Zen in the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance, and I would like to raise it one further, and I feel like it's NOS Maintenance or something like that.
Yeah, Zen in the Art
of
NOS Maintenance. good shit.
Great.
Good
shit. Now, you know, we actually, there's one other person we didn't talk about.
Who?
Scott Eastwood.
Oh, God.
This movie hard cuts to Scott Eastwood being alive and in this movie after disappearing in Fast 9. And everyone was like, oh, thank God, Scott Eastwood's never coming back. No. Little Nobody is alive and well.
But also, what's even weirder is that he reappears for one scene, gets sort of like thrown out of a car and rolls on some cobblestones. Yep. Never mentioned.
Never comes
again.
Back.
Disappears in the wind. And the other weird thing is that the reason, ostensibly, that Brie Larson's character is in this movie is because Mr. Nobody, Kurt Russell, is in the wind. He did a disappearing act.
Died.
So it's like, but his successor is there, but not really.
But not really his successor because it's Ames. Question mark?
Sure. To be clear, I was happy to see Alan Ritchson because I really think that he killed this. He also, the reveal was that he's been working with Jason Momoa the whole time.
We almost forgot about this. This movie does my favorite thing that any movie can do, which is when we reveal that a villain has been working with a villain or like a character has been working with a villain.
Yes.
We cut to scenes that we previously saw and the camera pans just a little to the left, just a few feet, and who's there the whole time?
Whoa!
But Mr. Ames himself.
There is an incredible shot where he literally just steps into frame as if he is aware that the camera is there.
The frame is there, yes.
It is so funny.
He looks down, he sees a little X where his blocking is. It goes right to that spot.
I love it. That's like the kind of campy schlock I love from these movies.
I agree.
Give me drama.
It's great. It's the best part. So let's give out some awards. So to start it off, to remind our audience, at the end of Q Fast, Q Furious, every episode, we would give out three awards: the Hit the Nos Award, the Male Gaze Award, mm-hmm. and the Olive Garden Award.
Yes.
So let's start off with the Hit the Nos Award.
I need Nos.
This is the award for the moment in the movie that amped you up the most.
Yes.
Gave you the most adrenaline, felt like there was Nos coursing through your body. My choice goes to Michelle Rodriguez throwing Charlize Theron through a pane of glass two stories down in a sub-zero Antarctic prison. That was so great. Yeah, that whole fight scene was amazing, but specifically they like drop a couple of stories through a pane of glass and I was like, that's hot.
Yeah, and they're both like reeling from the pain of the pain of the pane of glass, you know?
I love a hardcore like girl on girl fight when they can deliver, and I think
drag them out.
Yeah, I think Fast and Furious is one of the best franchises that does this because Michelle is such a badass.
Yeah,
and like they are good about having her fight other women in like a cool way.
Like the whole Gina Carano fight.
Oh, incredible!
Yeah,
yeah,
it's great,
so good. And the Ronda Rousey fight.
Yep,
so good.
Yeah.
So that's my pick.
I love this pick. I'm going to go with at the end of the film. Vin, there's a race scene where at first this one racer who dies, I'm sorry, I don't know your name, hits the Nos too early, and then we have a scene in which Momoa hits the Nos, and then in the final act of the film, Dom hits the Nos and goes, "It's my turn."
This is when he's driving down
driving down the Hoover Dam. Yes.
Not the Hoover Dam. Or the Portugal Dam.
Whatever. A dam. And he hits the Nos, and the camera, in too fast, too furious fashion, zooms in on his arm, holds on a chain, freezes on like different objects, and then we go through the gears, see the Nos ignite, fire comes out of the back of the car, and it's like the first time we've actually seen the Nos ignite moving through the car in like 7 movies.
Yes.
And it was exhilarating.
It was amazing.
Because it was right back to the roots. And I was like, this is the juice that we needed throughout this whole movie.
Why were we
not coursing Nos through our veins?
I missed it so much.
That's when I hit the Nos.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Because he hits the Nos.
Yes. Yes, he does.
God. The male gaze.
The male gaze. The male gaze. Who do you give the eye contact award to? Who's smoldering eye contact? This is an easy one. I give this to Jason Momoa and Vin Diesel. But mostly Jason Momoa, like, looking
with
longingly into just the camera.
Yes.
I am going to give it to the Ashante.
That's the scene I'm going to give it to, yes.
Because it's so good. Although, I would say close second when he's like, Dom, you like Swan Lake? And then Swan Lake starts playing and a helicopter appears with a sniper that shoots Brie Larson in the shoulder. Swan Lake starts playing as if it was summoned from the heavens.
Uh-huh. As it should be.
And Jason Momoa starts kind of like ballet dancing to it.
You strike me as a person who doesn't like ballet.
Yeah. I mean, once again, a flawless delivery.
Right.
So, but I do think the Ashante
moment. It's the Ashante moment.
Yes.
Yes. No, I mean, I agree. There's nothing else I have to say.
Yes.
That's the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. The Olive Garden Award.
The Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
Which moment makes you feel like family? I'm not going to lie. This was kind of tough because I don't know that I really had a moment
where I
was like, eh.
It's the opening, just because we have a classic barbecue and Rita Moreno gives a rousing speech about family.
I would say it was specifically the Rita Moreno speech.
Yeah.
She is the queen of showing up and killing it in two scenes.
And getting the fuck out.
Like, no problem. Yeah. Is just so goddamn, like, loving and funny.
She's so great.
And genuine and can do anything, really, with the material.
Yeah.
So I think we're aligned on that one.
Wow. Classic.
Now, obviously, we can't tell you how well this movie has done, but I will say it's projected to open to 60 mil and looking to capture 280 mil in its first weekend of release, which would be kind of cool.
It needs to make a lot of money.
It does, because this was insanely expensive. Furious 7 was a series high, which I don't think...
We won't reach that peak. I agree. Unless it's the last movie and they really do a big push.
Yeah, it was 148
million the final Fast film.
Million debut, which is crazy.
It's unbelievable, yeah.
So we'll see. It's remained really, really popular internationally.
Of course,
So we will stack it up when the time is right. But we have a couple of, I think, crucial updates to make.
We do.
But... So should we do our updates and then do the average Letterboxd?
The
average Letterboxd is going to be really changing.
God, this is early. It's probably going to be fluctuating really quick.
Yeah.
that's not great. 2-9
2-9 It's a 3-flat right three now. Flat. Okay. Right now. It's, anything could happen.
I'm going to say that goes down.
Yeah.
Maybe, right?
I think so too.
What is Hobbs and Shaw?
Let's see. Will it even come up?
I want to go to my list and it will. Let's see.
Because we need to go over.
We need
the
to
lists.
Go our lists. Yeah.
Hobbs and Shaw 2-8 has a 2.8.
I think this will end up at a 2-9. Okay. Fast ampersand Furious also has a 2-9.
Correct.
That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Correct on that.
All right.
Front.
So okay. First things first, let's give our normal rankings and we'll do
so
our
career rankings.
So where does
this rank in the series? For me,
11 movies.
11 movies. For me, this ranks number 9 out of 11. It is just below Fate of the Furious and Tokyo Drift and just above, so better than, Fast ampersand Furious, aka Fast and Furious 4, and Hobbs and Shaw, which is my low.
Yes.
It's the worst
bad
one.
Movie. Yes.
How about you?
I agree. I have this in number 10.
Wow.
Right above Hobbs and Shaw. I think it's basically this in ampersand. I'm kind of going back and forth between.
I just really don't like ampersand.
Ampersand's it's
all.
Really not good. I think it might go above ampersand, but I am in a similar position where it's.
Okay. Now the fun stuff. Now the fun stuff. The Fast and Furious Queer Edition.
Thank God.
Where's
okay,
this ranking?
Yes, where's this ranking for you?
For me, this is currently at number 4, which I feel like seems kind of low. I don't know. Maybe I'll move it up. It's currently at number 4 after Too Fast, Too Furious, the number 1 spot.
Uh-huh.
Will never be
beat.
Fate of the Furious at number 2.
Which we share.
Yes. Fast and the Furious, aka the first one, at number 3. Because of the insane Brian and Dom.
Yeah.
And then this at number 4.
I currently have the exact same ranking.
Oh, hey, look at that.
I think I might move it to 3, though.
That
like, we count... I think just because Momoa's performance is so gay.
I know.
Like, does that super... That this is the big question. Does Momoa's performance supersede Brian and Dom's love?
Well, it's... Here's... You said that so seriously. And I know that you were very serious.
And I mean it.
No. That was so good. This is what is interesting, is that it's like... This movie is certainly... Fast X is certainly more intentional about having queer or queer-interpreted or queer-coded content in it.
Yes.
However, it feels wrong because
I agree.
Brian and Dom are like...
They're like lovers.
And they're also... I legitimately think that the first Fast and the Furious is a pretty great movie.
Yeah, no, it's good.
And
yeah.
I think a lot of it is because like of the two of them. Like, it does not work without the two of them. But also, this movie doesn't work without Momoa. I don't know. I'm conflicted, but I think I'm going to leave it there for now.
I will leave it there too. I think just because
things
Brian
can change,
lets
though.
Dom drive off into the sunset at the end of, you know, one.
I mean, it's also, that's like, if we want to talk about good or bad queer representation, which is obviously what these movies have on their mind, naturally.
Chris Morgan writing, gay.
That's like, you know, that's a love-based.
Yeah, it's a love-based
relationship.
Love.
This is just pure gay camp.
Yeah.
You know?
Flamboyant.
Yeah.
The works,
it's different. So that's where it's hanging out for now.
I agree. Now the follow up question, Brooke, is where in the queer quadrant is this landing for
on
you?
On the queer quadrant is interesting. I think I'm going to give it. So
what
I always
we,
need to.
Yeah. What did
I always need to
can
go
you
back?
Tell me what we gave?
Yes. What? Which one do you want?
Fast and Furious.
Fast ampersand Furious.
No, like the Fast.
The Fast
and
the Furious.
Give me all the thes.
Jordan, you got to be specific.
Give me the thes.
So for the Fast and the Furious, aka FNF1, you gave it a 3. I gave it a 3.5, and our guest Alicia gave it a 4. I was going to give this a 3.5 as well.
I think I'm going to give this a 3.5 as well, which means I think I might move this ahead.
So you are moving this up. I'm going to
gonna
it
move
where it
this
is.
Up.
Okay.
You know what? This is good. We need a spread.
Yes.
I'm going to move it up because he has like queer tea time with two dead corpses and paints their nails.
Honestly, the painted nails were doing so much for me.
They really do. I'm sorry. My man's dances to Swan Lake on a bridge.
Yes. And not only are his nails painted, they like match his outfit.
They're
like
great.
They change every scene.
Yeah. No, he's like taking the time to deliver the looks.
Yes.
Like, this is a pretty rushed timeline. They're flying around the world pretty quick.
Yeah.
But my man, he's on a plane. He's like, I could go with yellow today.
Yeah. He has a gold jacket at one point and he has gold nails
like
to match.
Like a snakeskin
jacket. It's so good.
His looks.
amazing. His hair, majestic.
Unbelievable. Golden so manes.
I'm going to give this 3.5. You're also going to give this
3.5. I'm going to give this 3.5 as well.
Great.
Wow.
It's not a very good movie, but I do think it is fun.
Yeah. See it for Momoa.
See it for Momoa.
Momoa is worth the price of admission, I would say.
I would totally agree. I also think this would be very fun to see with a crowd of Fast and Furious
fans.
Because I imagine there will be a lot of cheering for Momoa.
Very rarely do you get a performance where something elevates a movie so much that it's like worth going out of your way to see it.
Low-key single-handedly saves
but
the movie.
But he is literally carrying this movie.
Can you imagine if this was a boring villain?
Awful. Terrible. Would be the worst thing
we've
ever
seen.
Can you
even imagine if it was like Charlize Theron and Fate of the Furious
with her dreadlocks?
Oof.
Not good. Cypher has gotten markedly better as a character.
I know, because like they kind of let her be fun. She's so fucking serious in Fate of the Furious.
She's so much better when she's just fun.
Yeah, when Charlize
is when she's a heel.
I think you described her as a heel, which is very good because she's not super evil anymore. But you're like, nobody likes her. Right.
She's giving the Statham performance. Yeah.
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 Ooh.
Her and Statham are gonna have a little.
You know what?
Fighty.
That's a great call. I mean, I would prefer if it was gay.
Oh, I didn't mean gay, like relationship. I just meant they'll probably fight or something.
I was thinking maybe they will link up romantically. The question is, will Jason Statham, I was going to say, is he going to be weird?
That won't happen. There's no way. There's no fucking way. Cypher remains.
We abruptly cut to like him on an Apple box, very clearly on an Apple box.
Steps onto it. As I said before, Cypher is a cipher of gender and sexual identity.
Yes.
We may never know.
We may never know. She has a great haircut in this.
It's a good
classic Charlize.
Again, her haircut has gone.
Yes. So much better.
Thank God. Yeah.
So that's Fast X.
Wow. Fast X in your seatbelts. Fast exit through the theater.
Yeah. Should be Fast 10 your seatbelts.
It should. What do you think they do for 11? Is it Fast X 2?
Well, this is the thing is that we were like, if they do a trilogy, is it going to be Fast XX and then Fast XXX? But also if you're going Roman numerals, it has to be Fast XI.
Yeah.
Which is not as
That's not
exciting.
Fun.
I also wonder if they'll just do another weird naming convention.
I'm sure they will.
Maybe
like
F11?
Furious 11. F11. Yeah, you could hit F11 on your keyboard.
You can do that.
Turn the volume down, though. F12 is when you go up with the volume.
Ooh, so F12.
F12 will do. Boop, 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 boop.
Let's
boop,
just
boop.
Hope it ends at F11.
I hope it's
okay.
Well, think about like Ocean's conventions, you know? Basically, what I'm saying is how many characters do they have enough characters for 11? Like, is it Dom's 11 at this point?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Except I don't think they would name it that.
They wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. But I'm just trying to think, like, Letty.
Okay, I can tell you because I have the cast right here. Ready? 1, 2. Okay, here we go. Vin, Michelle, Tyrese, Ludacris, Natalie Emanuel, Jordana Brewster, Song Kang.
Brian, technically.
Brian is alive.
That's
Jason
eight,
Statham.
9. Hobbs. 10.
Dwayne Johnson. I mean, do we want to count Charlize?
That's 11.
That's 11. I also didn't even include John Cena.
So that would be 12.
Or Little B. He's technically part of the team now. Okay. So 12, I guess. And that's
12.
Also not including Giselle, who's now back. Dom's 13.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Close. Dom's 13.
There we go. That's Fast
X. The Toretto 13.
I think that, hey, wait. Okay. The Toretto 12?
The Toretto 12 is good.
However...
They would not do that.
We need it to just be a two-parter.
Yeah. So
I could, you know what? I could actually see the very last film being called The Fast Family.
The Fast Family. The Fast and Furious Family or just The Fast Family?
The Fast Family.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Or what if it's just
Family?
Family. One word.
The Fast and the Furious Family.
The Fast and the Furious presents Family.
All right. We're done with this. If you want more shenanigans from us, you can mostly find us on Twitter.
Yes.
I'm a Brooke B. Solomon.
Jordan H. Gus.
And we're together at Queer Quadrant. And same goes for Letterboxd and Instagram. And you can find this podcast on Spotify, on Apple, in a Black Ops Antarctica prison, and wherever else you care to get your podcasts.
On a plane runway that you survive falling out of.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, Dom drives a car backwards out of a plane and lands
on
a highway.
Cars, yes.
But I wasn't as impressed because they already
he's already gone out of a car
out
yeah.
of planes. Oh, we
and
also
parachuted them.
I can't see. This is the thing is that there are action beats, but they're not very memorable. John Cena creates a like speed plane out of a kayak on like a 747.
Yeah.
once again, I was like,
not as good.
Sure.
Yeah.
I guess.
I know.
Yeah. Sorry.
It they just better up it for 11.
It didn't really have the juice.
I think it was the Nos was missing. I think it was the Lin factor that like having to sub in. I think there was just a lot going on the pandemic. Like I will believe that 11 will really be a good, you know, finale.
Well, Jordan, I appreciate your optimism.
I have to be optimistic.
You can also tweet at us and tell us your thoughts about this film and the Fast saga in general. What else you want from Q Fast, Q Furious, and what you might like to see us cover in the future.
What are we covering in the future? Because it's not Fast 11.
No, it is not. Not yet, anyway. In 2 weeks, we will be covering Josie and the Pussycats. A cleansing bomb for all your toxic masculinity needs.
Come cannot wait. Wow.
Hang out with us and talk about musicals and the power of girlhood.
Perfect movie.
It's a great time. So tune in 2 weeks for that.
And Brooke, is there anything you would like to leave our Toretto's with?
Jason Momoa screamed gay rights at the top of his lungs.
Salute me, familia.